Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9 says this, "Enjoy life with the woman, the wife whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I'm sitting across the table this morning from Debbie Shreve, my wife of 37 years. And we just celebrated number 37 on March 15th. In the Ides of March, we got married March 15th, 1986. And we want to talk to you today about marriage and about quality, specifically quality time in marriage. It was the blockbuster book, Dr. Chapman, who wrote the book, The Five Love Languages. And of those five love languages, Debbie, tell us what the five love languages are.
Okay, the five love languages are physical touch, quality time, words of encouragement, acts of service, and gift giving. And in all likelihood, you and your spouse do not speak the same love language.
Right.
And that's so, normally the way it goes.
So when that book came out, gosh, what, 35, 40 years ago, something like
probably.
That? I mean, it's a long time ago. It was really groundbreaking as far as relationships go because nobody had really put those things together. And, you know, it's like, well, is that biblical truth that he came up with? Well, I think it's very practical truth. And so in relationships, you're going to communicate love a certain way. And so you speak that language. And then your wife, you got to find out what your spouse speaks so that you guys can communicate. You know, if you speak Russian and your wife speaks Chinese, you're going to have a really difficult time having a good marriage because you can't communicate with one another. And if you've ever tried to speak Chinese or listen to Chinese, I went to China some years ago. I don't have a good ear for languages, and Chinese, once I got past a low, I was done. I couldn't come up with anything. It's very tonal. And anyway, so we want to talk today about the love language quality time. So Debbie, when you and I first started going out, gifts were really important to you.
Yes, they were. And I as I look back on it, and I think we've talked about this before, that was how love was shown to me in my family of origin. And so that was more of a learned behavior for me, for gifts to be an expression of love. And as I got myself healthy emotionally and spiritually and everything else in the early years of our marriage, I discovered that was more of an ancillary gift for me, that was more over to the side, that the primary way that I really felt loved in our marriage was through quality time. And I think what were yours, Jeff? Because yours have not really necessarily changed.
Yeah, mine, words of affirmation and meaningful touch.
Right.
But as we were talking just over the weekend, being in Branson and spending time together, quality time is critical. And in everyone's relationship, time with anybody.
Right.
You have to have time. And quality time requires you to have quantity time. If there's no quantity time, there can be no quality time. Those go hand in hand. So with your kids, it's like, okay, I got 2 minutes, let's have some quality time. Well, you're not going to have that.
Right. You know? Well, I think it's the quality time and the quantity time which enables you to express the other love languages. Because if you don't have the time there, how can you express them? Because even with gifts, if there's no relationship there, and if your love tank isn't being filled, it's just a gift. You know, it's very short-lived in terms of it making you feel loved and appreciated.
Well, and oftentimes, you know, you see this with parents and kids. Hey, I don't have time for them. I'm working all the time, but I'll just buy them things. Mm-hmm. And so they get lots of things, but kids don't really want things. They want mom and dad. They want
right.
time with their parents. They like things, but things aren't a substitute for time.
Right.
And even in a marriage relationship, things aren't, I mean, you can have a very wealthy guy married to his wife, but he's really married to his work, and he's never home, and, you know, hey, I buy you all these things. That's not the same.
No.
We watched the movie together. It's my second time to watch it, Big George Foreman. And I love the scene with his wife and his first wife, beautiful lady. And he said, I've given you everything. What else do you want? She said, I don't want everything. I want you.
Right.
And that was the key line in the whole movie for me, because I always think about how that relates to our relationship with the Lord. You know, the Lord doesn't want our service. He wants our heart. And if he has our heart, then he has everything else. And the same in marriage. You know, your spouse really, truly wants your heart. She wants to be number one. He wants to be number one, you know, second only to Jesus. But a woman especially, she recognizes if the job comes first, and she doesn't like that at all. She recognizes if golf or tennis or hunting or fishing or something else comes first, she doesn't like that at all. And you're rolling your eyes.
I wasn't rolling my eyes. Well, maybe you're a little sensitive, Jeffrey. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I do golf. Golf yes. is one of those things, because I can't really do anything else anymore. So golf.
Well, and what was that thing that Quinn Addington told you the other day that was so funny about golf?
Yes. So I can relate to this. And one of the guys in our church, a young guy, just a super guy, Quinn Addington. He said he was playing golf with his brother Whit, and he said. He said, I have the golf bug. I don't have the golf gene. And so, which means I like golf, but I'm not very good at golf. And his brother, younger brother, Whit, is very good at golf. Some people pick up golf quickly. Other people like me have been playing for 40 years and still stink at golf. And so golf's just a hard game. But, you know, that can become a mistress. And, you know, because you just... If from a guy's perspective, it's just like, I want to get out there. It's just so fun. I like to compete. And that can really make you feel like you're second place.
Right. And, you know, like I know in our marriage, I don't ever begrudge you the time that you have to relax like that, because you work so hard, and that is a good outlet for you to be able to just be out in nature, to not have to think about a lot of things other than golf, and to just really relax. And so that's important, but it can get out of balance if we're not careful. And so periodically we kind of have to have some conversations about that, because it can leave me feeling back to, I think we've shared the story on the air before, but when we were early in our marriage, after we had had our first daughter, I had those same kinds of feelings of being down the list in priorities, and it was pick up basketball games mm-hmm. that you were doing, and we had to have a conversation about that. And so it is important that quality time is kind of the foundation of everything else. Even if that is not your primary love language, if that isn't there, it's hard to experience the other love languages, because all of them take time.
Right.
And take interaction between the two of you.
Well, this is something I ran across on a website. It says, here are a few signs from Gary Chapman and relationship counselor Margaret Paul. If you find these statements to be true, then probably quality time is your love language, because people need to figure out, okay, what is my love language?
Right.
How do I receive love from people?
Because, and if I remember right, that there's like a quiz in the book,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah. So of those five things, to see which one, mm-hmm. and normally you have a primary and a secondary. So it's not just I have one, and you know, I mean, all of them are important, but gifts for me, not a big thing. Acts of service, nice. I mean, I don't dislike that, mm-hmm. but that's not going to, if you want to show me you love me and you go get my car detailed or something like that, that's going to be like, wow, I would have much rather, you know, had meaningful touch and words of affirmation. That means more to me. So here's how to know if your love language is quality time.
Okay, I'm going to take this quiz.
Okay.
With you.
You feel lonely when you don't have enough time with your partner.
Yes.
Spending time together is incredibly important to you, more so than words, touch, gifts, or acts of service.
Yes.
Postponed activities or dates upset you.
Yes.
when you don't spend enough quality time with your partner, you may be turned off sexually.
Yes.
The time you spend together doing stuff, talking, or just hanging out is the highlight of your relationship.
100%.
You get upset or feel disconnected if you don't spend enough time together.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Distractions or feeling like someone isn't listening can be especially hurtful.
Oh, stab in the heart.
Okay, you put a lot of emphasis on making your schedules work and making the time special.
Yes.
Okay, so we had, when we were in Branson, we were talking about, okay, as we have these empty nest years, and we've had empty nest now for a good while, mm-hmm. but, you know, how do we draw closer together? As we learned at Family Life, you know, every marriage is either moving toward oneness or moving toward isolation. You don't just stay static. Marriage is a dynamic. It's constantly going either together or apart. So how do we not drift apart, as we've seen with so many marriages where they've been married for 25, 30, 35 years, and they get divorced? Mm-hmm. And you're like, what in the world? Why would you do that? It's like, well, we grew apart. Mm-hmm. You hear that all the time.
Right. And I do know that we've talked about this also, and you and I have such different interests. And so for us to find things to do together can be somewhat of a challenge in terms of us both really enjoying that activity, because you are much more sport oriented and competitive. Well, I'm not competitive at all. I mean, I was just a nerd all growing up. I didn't do any sports, which I think is why I've aged better. But anyway, that's another whole broadcast. But you... you love the outdoors. You like to go and do things. I'm a major homebody. I'm artsy. I'm creative. You know, I enjoy art museums, painting, any kind of pottery. I mean, those are sewing, you know, just anything creative is kind of an outlet for me. And so what can be a challenge for us is entering each other's worlds, mm-hmm. and being engaged in the other person's world when we're there, not just going and checking the box saying, okay, hey, I did this with you, now it's your turn to do something with me, but to really be all in when you're at that activity with the other person.
Yeah, that is a challenge.
It is very much a challenge.
Like going to an art museum is, I'd have to really gear up mentally to want to do that. Going to a new golf course, it seems to me like that should be fun for everybody.
Right, but right. Yes.
Anyway, so here's what Gary Chapman says, how to show love to someone whose love language is quality time. He says, number one, bake quality into your day. If your partner is someone who enjoys quality time, make an effort to have intentional, meaningful time together when you really feel like you're connecting.
Right.
So make it a point of planning quality time into your day. It might be as simple as having a meal together, sitting on a patio together, or snuggling together when you wake up, and you just share about your day and your dreams and things like that. So,
yes, and I know for us, you are much more open with sharing things. You always have been. And you are the one that has to kind of draw that out of me. So if you don't draw that out of me, it probably doesn't come out of me very much in terms of hopes and dreams and just deeper thoughts. I've always kidded that in the water of life, you're an ocean and I'm a wading pool because I don't have a lot of deep thoughts, you know? Uh-huh. And so for me to have those, you really have to draw those out of me and take the time to do that. And that's part of that quality time.
Right.
So that's important.
So as Solomon said, enjoy life with the woman, or also could be translated the wife, whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. And so Debbie and I are talking about quality time in marriage. It is so very important. And hey, that may not be your number one love language, but I promise you, you're not going to have a good marriage without quality time. And to have quality time, you have to have quantity time. And both of those are critical. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my wife, Debbie. And we are up against a break, but we'll be right back. When we come back, we're probably at about 8:30. We'll open up the phone lines. We'd love to hear from you. Don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about quality time in marriage. As Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9:9, enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. God designed marriage to be a wonderful partnership together. The wife was created to help the husband. The husband is to lead his wife and love his wife, and the wife is to respect her husband, and they're to grow in this thing called love. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That means to glue together so it never comes apart, and the two shall become one flesh. And so the goal of marriage is to experience the joy of oneness with your spouse. And so quality time is a big part of that. It's one of the five love languages, as we said. And really the other love languages feed off of that, because if you're not spending time together, and if the time is not quality at all, it's just going through the motions, then your marriage is going to fall apart. So this is a website I found. It's called mindbodygreen.com. It's about relationships, and it's from Dr. Chapman's book, and then Margaret Paul, a relationship counselor, comments on this. So here is 10 ways to show love to someone whose love language is quality time. So as we said, number one, you bake quality time into your day. Number two, start and end your day together. That's important. Now, that you can't do that every day, obviously, out of town or business or whatever, but try and do that when you're in town together. Set aside 10 minutes to catch up. No phones allowed.
Ooh, that's a hard one, isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, Gary Chapman says that. And this will help you both unwind after the workday, talk about your day, and have time together. Number three, avoid distractions when you're together.
I think the phone could go into that category, could it not?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So they say people whose love language is quality time don't want any distractions to interrupt their time together. You really get upset if
yes.
I look at my phone if a message comes in on the screen.
Yes,
and
it's difficult too, because you know there's multiple verses in the book of Proverbs about a contentious wife, a nagging wife, all of that.
Drip, drip, drip.
And so I try to be very, very careful with that. We have had conversations about this where I have asked you, okay, listen, how can I, when I'm feeling like your phone and all these other things are taking all of your time, how do I approach you with that without it coming across as being nagging and just, you know, smothering and demanding?
Right.
And what was your response to that? Do you remember?
No.
I don't remember either. But it was like, Oh, you said, hey, why don't you just say, hey, how do you think we're doing in terms of our communication and really spending time mm-hmm. together? How do you think that's going?
Right.
You know.
Well, here's the thing, ladies. Guys tend to do better if you're very straightforward and blunt with them. Not in a rude way, but they can't read between the lines. They're not good. They don't have... You know, they're not a mind reader. They don't have that ability. So you just got to spell it out. Hey, I don't feel very cherished. And we do well with a scale. If you go 1 to 10, 10's the best, 1's the worst. Hey, I'm feeling like our marriage is a 5 right now. We what can we do to get it up to you know, to an 8 or 9 or a letter grade? Hey, right now we're at a, you know, I'm C minus, and this isn't good. And if we keep going in the direction we're going, we're going to flunk. And so those kinds of things, and then offering suggestions on what can we do together. And that Debbie and I are working through that, you
right.
know.
And I think too, it's important, ladies, that we do approach our husbands in such a way that it's not repelling to him when we're sharing how we're feeling in this area, but that it is encouraging him to see the situation the way that we're seeing it.
Right.
And so we do have to be very careful with our words, with our body language, and how we do that, because when I'm sharing how you being on the phone a lot makes me feel, I'm not sharing it to attack you, because it's at that point it's okay. I have a need that's not being met, and I'm trying to communicate with that. Communicate that to you. And so we do have to choose the time, we have to choose the words, we have to choose our body language. All of those things filter in to making sure that when we share that with our spouse, he doesn't instantly go on the defensive, but he's able to receive that with the heart in which we're sharing it.
Yes. So Gary Chapman says this: being there for the person that whose love language is quality time is critical, but really being there makes them feel truly special and loved. So wherever you are, be all there. Don't be, you know, I'm home, but I'm really at work. My mind's at work, or I'm somewhere else. I need to be all there. And then number four, he says, prioritize meaningful eye contact. That does speak volumes when you're really connected, because if you try and multitask and you're looking at your phone, well, I'm still listening, I'm just looking through this, or I'm playing crossword puzzle or some kind of game, that's not the same.
Yeah.
And so full attention is your eyes are on your spouse.
Right.
And you're really listening. You're listening with your eyes. Number five, be interested in what they're saying and feeling. Goes on to say, the love languages are all about connecting through different means, and quality time can often take the form of conversation and discussion, not to be confused with words of affirmation, which is more about saying I love you, another validating language. Quality time is about presence. It's about being there and being all there and being all in the moment, so that you guys as couples can communicate.
Okay, and we have a couple of funny stories with this, but one of them that really comes to mind is, I was at home, we were on the phone talking, you're at your office, and I would say to you, okay, what else are you doing right now? You're like, well, I'm not doing anything. Well, you miss it. I know you're doing something. You're on your phone.
Yeah, you would call me out even when we're talking on the phone, if I'm looking at an email or something.
Because I can tell. I can tell that you're not focused in on me.
Okay, and this is so true. So when couples are dating, phone time can be long. You know, especially back in the day before cell phones and
the dark ages.
Yeah, we could talk on the phone for a long time. Now you and I in our relationship, most of it was face to face.
Yeah, because I'm not a big phone person.
But some couples can talk on the phone for, you know, hours, and then you get married and you don't want to do that. So you're talking on the phone for information. What time do I need to pick up the kids? What time is dinner? What time is this? What time is that? You know, those calls are typically short. But that's okay. So we just need to make sure when we have face-to-face time that it's not short and just to the point, and because I'm moving on to something more important. So be interested in what they're saying and feeling. Number six, plan date nights regularly. Those are important. I don't care if you're in your 70s. It's still important to date your wife and to court her.
And let me interject here. For me personally, a date night does not necessarily mean that we go out and do stuff, because I'm such a homebody.
Right.
A fun date night to me can be that we just bring in pizza and we sit on the couch together and watch a movie. We talk, we laugh, you know. So it doesn't have to be some, you know, elaborate, expensive
right.
thing. Because the person whose love language is quality time, it's not about how much money you're spending. It's about the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the time that's important.
Right. So plan date nights regularly. Number seven, plan staycations. That's kind of what you're saying.
Yes.
So, hey, we're going to take a Friday off, and we're just going to be at home. We don't have a huge schedule, but we're just going to be together,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have fun together. Number eight, avoid canceling plans. People whose primary love language is quality time will feel particularly hurt by canceled or postponed plans. And so and it's just like with your kids, you know, when you promise your kids, hey, on Saturday we're going fishing, your little boy is looking forward to that he's looking forward to that all week. If mm-hmm. you cancel on him, you might think it's no big deal. It's a huge deal. So we took the family to Galveston 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Lyndon, who is 7 years old, almost eight, well, she was talking about it for weeks,
yes,
about going to Galveston.
Yes.
So if that trip had gotten canceled.
She even researched Galveston. Like, she knew about the hurricanes. And she,
yes,
I mean,
she,
you know, she had researched all of that.
So if that had somehow gotten canceled, she would have been
devastated.
So disappointed.
Devastated.
Yeah. So.
And let's face it, as adults, you have to be able to roll with the flow a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, because there are times when things do happen that cause events to have to,
sure,
to have to be canceled. And so it cannot be such a rigid view of this to where it's like, okay, it doesn't matter why you canceled, you just canceled, therefore I'm disappointed and I'm frustrated and I'm upset with you. Well, there has to be some give and take there. And I know that we've experienced that just in ministry. Like, you have something that comes up with someone in your church body and your church family that is an immediate need,
right,
that has to be,
yes, this,
right. And so you can't be so rigid in this and have no give and take, but that can't be the norm, where it's the norm that your dates get canceled and your plans get postponed. If that becomes a regular situation, that's really when your love tank is just empty.
Well, I remember our pastor, Damon Shook, he would write in family time on his planner. And so if somebody asked him to do something, hey, can you do something with me on Tuesday night, go to a ball game or something like that, he would look in there and he goes, no, I've already got something scheduled, because he would schedule family time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good way to do it, because if you don't, and you say, well, I'm supposed to be home with my family, that can seem flimsy. But if the guy, I mean, he actually did this to me. He opened up his daytimer, he had it in his pocket, opened it up, and he goes, I can't already have something scheduled there. And so then it's like, okay, people can accept the fact that, well, he's already booked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage our staff, hey, book time with your family, especially if you're one that tends to have the needs of the church, you know, preclude the needs of your family.
Well, and I think as I look back, you were so fabulous at that when our kids were at home. Because we never felt ever, and I think our kids would say this, we never felt like your job came before us as a family, because and there were times when your schedule was so full, I did not even understand how you were able to make as much family time as you did. But I think as we've entered empty nest, that's become maybe even a little bit more difficult, because we do both have more free time. We don't have as many family obligations and responsibilities. And so if we're not careful, and this is, I'm not pointing a finger at you, I'm saying for both of us, we can get selfishly wrapped up in just our own thing and what we want to do, mm-hmm, as opposed to making sure we keep the relationship the priority.
Right.
And it's just easy to drift into that.
Well, I think it's easy to take the other for granted.
You've
been together for a long time and you know each other pretty well, and so you kind of take each other for granted. So you don't ever want to do that. Number nine is have a daily ritual. He said maybe it's taking a walk together after dinner or have a hobby you both enjoy, like journaling or playing music. Finding time to do something like that together every day, even if it's just 15 minutes, can go a long way for someone who has quality time as a love language. And then I love this one, Debbie. Go to bed at the same time.
Yes.
That is very, very important for couples.
Yes.
So when we got married, you would go to bed early. I was more of a night owl. I learned to be more of a morning person because I needed to go to bed when you went to bed.
Well, because I had to leave the house by a little after 6 to get to the school where I taught. And I would be wiped out pretty early from my work. And so I did go to bed pretty early.
Well, those are 10 very wonderful suggestions from Dr. Chapman on how to show love to someone whose love language is quality time. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, about quality time in marriage. And really that spills over to quality time in parenting, quality time with friends. You're not going to have a good friendship with somebody that you don't spend quality time with.
Right. Yeah. And it is just so foundational. I mean, if you think about even your relationship with the Lord, it's you have to have the quality time with him as well as quantity time with him. Mm-hmm. That's how you grow in your relationship with the Lord, how you learn to lean into him, to share your heart with him. That takes time to do that and to sit in his presence and allow him to speak to you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the Lord will speak something into your heart instantaneously in a situation, but often we have to be spending time in his word and spending time in prayer and just having time just sitting in his presence to be able to hear his voice clearly when he wants to speak to us. And he longs for that. He longs for us to spend time mm-hmm. with him. And so in our relationship with the Lord, that quality time, it's definitely something that's important.
So you see, it's interesting in Luke chapter 10 with Mary and Martha. Martha's into service.
Right.
Mary's into quality time.
Mm-hmm.
So Martha is cooking a meal for the master, and Mary's sitting at the feet of the master, listening to his word. And Jesus said that Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. He says to Martha, 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 you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are really necessary. Really only one. And that one is to sit at his feet, subject yourself to the Lord and surrender yourself to the Lord. He is King. He is Master. And listen to his word. And listen with a heart that says, yes, Lord, I want to obey you and I want to do what you say. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about quality time in marriage. Quality time is one of the five love languages from Dr. Gary Chapman in his wonderful book, The Five Love Languages. And we're up against a break, but when we come back, we'd love to hear from you. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about quality time in marriage. Debbie and I have been married for 37 years. And just like any marriage, we've had ups and downs. We've had struggles and trials and problems and times where we are frustrated with one another. But we always come back together. We always work it out. We are more in love today than we were when we got married March 15th, 1986. And we were in love as much as we thought we could be back then. And we weren't holding anything back, but we just know each other so much better. And listen, when you marry somebody, you marry the whole person. In dating, you know, you put the best foot forward, but when you get married, you realize your partner has 2 feet, and the other foot maybe is a club foot. It's just not it's not great sometimes, because every person has strengths and weaknesses, and so you marry the whole person, and you embrace the strengths and the weaknesses. And here's one thing that we have learned, Debbie, in dating, you maximize the strengths, you minimize the weaknesses. In marriage, you can often flip that. You can maximize the weaknesses and minimize the strengths. And when you maximize weaknesses, that person becomes a negative, and nobody likes a negative. So you have to be very intentional about always thinking about the things that attracted you to this person, the strengths of this person. The weaknesses are there, but don't focus in on those weaknesses. You know, I think about couples that, one couple in particular, where the husband is very wonderful, but he's absent-minded. He forgets he misplaces his keys in his wallet on a regular basis, and that drives his wife insane. But It is what it is. He says, I'd forget my head if it weren't attached. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just, that's not an important thing to him. It's important when he wants to leave or buy something, but that can be a sort, you know, you just embrace that and say, okay, that's just one of his quirks.
Right.
Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, as we talk about this subject, quality time in marriage, quality time in relationships, really. And we have Richard on the line from Michigan. Richard, thanks for calling in.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
You talk about time together. If the a couple married was to work at the same job, that would be quite a bit of time together. Would that be beneficial, or would that be otherwise?
Yes, great question, Richard. I think it's important, and we've talked about this. Time together is important. If you work together, you're spending a lot of time together that's kind of outside the marriage time, because it's like I'm putting my work hat on. And I think it's important to have breaks from one another. So it's not just time together 24/7.
Well, and work time isn't quality time. So it may be quantity time, because you may be with each other a lot, but your focus is completely on what you're doing. It isn't on each other and building the relationship. And so I think, we've talked about this before. When you've had periods where, like, your secretary was out for a week or whatever, it's like, oh, I could never work for you. You know, it would just be awful. Because we just do things, we're wired so differently. So I think when you are in that relationship or in that situation where you are working together, there has to be a separation where you have a life outside of that. So when you come home from that, that isn't what you continue to talk about and continue to focus your attention on. You have to have some separateness there.
Well, and that's why going into the ministry can be tough, because, like, for us, I had my work at NALCO, mm-hmm. and then we had our church life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went into the ministry, then my work and my church life, they're all one and the same. And so if something goes bad when at NALCO Chemical Company, well, I'd have the refuge of the church family. But when something goes bad at First Baptist Church, which is my church, which is my job and my livelihood, so they're all commingled, and that can be difficult.
Right. That's why the separate time where you just have time where you're just focusing on each other, focusing on the relationship, and you're not talking about work-related things. That's important.
Mm-hmm. So good question, Richard. I appreciate that. And I think you just have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit there and know when you need to have a break. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of wives, they're glad that their husbands play golf, because it gets them out of the house, especially when a husband retires.
Right.
Because that can be difficult. It's like he wasn't here all throughout the day. Now he is here. And, you know, Debbie, a lot of wives can be like, I need you to leave.
Right. I need my alone time.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and people that, I think about our youngest daughter, Sarah, she needs alone time. She's a very people-oriented person,
mm-hmm.
but she has to have that alone time. You have to have alone
right.
time.
Yes. You have to just regroup.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and because I used to think I was just this major extrovert, and I do most assuredly have extroverted qualities, but I feel like I'm more of an introverted extrovert, because I do have to have just that downtime where there aren't any demands on mm-hmm. me, and I'm you know,
right.
I can just truly relax and regroup and refuel.
And I think as you've gotten older,
I need that more and more.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Great question, Richard. Thanks for calling in with that. We have Peggy on the line from Tennessee. Peggy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question. I'm a widow, and I've been dating a man for a couple of years, and very nice, very, very nice person, and care a lot about him. And his mother is a widow, and I'm going to be really nice about it. It's just that whenever he's around her, he's so different mm-hmm. from when we're together. He's laughing, he's fun, he's we're talking about books, the news, whatever we want to talk about. But when he's in front of her, he becomes a quiet, scared little boy. Mm-hmm. And I want to know if this ever changes. And this is what's kept me from saying yes to getting married, because I don't understand it. And should I bring it up, or should I just be quiet about it?
Yes.
And I'm going to hang up and let you answer my question. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you, Peggy. Great question. So I learned years ago in men's fraternity with Robert Lewis about guys that suffer from a mother wound. So we talk a lot about father wounds, but there are also mother wounds. And sometimes a man can still feel emotionally get stuck in this. I'm a little boy, and that's my mother, and she controls me, or I'm trying to please her, or I have some resentment toward her. But yeah, he can change. I heard one guy say one time, he said, talking to wives, he said, "Watch, does your husband change around his parents? Is he different around them? Because it could indicate that there's a wound there that he's never dealt with." And so, Peggy, I would think that that would be a good thing to discuss and just say, hey, this is what I see. This is a major concern to me. And I can get you, I think all that stuff from Men's Fraternity with Robert Lewis is on YouTube, or it's available to watch that. But the mother wound session that he did was tremendous. Robert Lewis is a great teacher, but that was tremendous and very eye-opening, and just revealed things to me in my relationship with my mom and my dad. Hey, I got to watch for this. And Debbie, did you pick that up any with me and my parents?
No, I did not. But my family of origin, my mother was like that. My mother never really cut the cord with her parents. Mm-hmm. And so when we would go to visit my mom's family, she would just completely revert back.
To a little girl.
To a little girl. Mm-hmm. So I saw that lived out in front of me. So I was hypersensitive to that as well. So no, I never saw that with you. And I don't feel that you ever saw that with me. Or did you? I don't think you did.
No, but it's a very common thing.
Yes, it is. And to deal with those wounds, I think so many people don't deal with them because they feel it's going to be dishonoring to their parent to say something negative, to feel something negative, and to admit that about a parent is dishonoring to them. And
or it's going to just open up a box of...
A Pandora's box, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I just don't want to go. I don't have the emotional energy to go there, so I'm just going to be very quiet and just watch what comes out of my mouth. And that's not very healing. That might be a coping mechanism, but it's not true healing. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you, Peggy, to have that conversation with
him. Watch those. Go to YouTube and watch that video if you can find it.
Right. So Robert Lewis, Men's Fraternity. And I think he called it either cutting the apron strings. I did a sermon on cutting the apron strings, and I can send that to you if you'd like, Peggy. Just email me, jeff@fromhisheart.org, and I can get that to you. I got a lot of information in my sermon. It was helped by Robert Lewis's talk on the mother wound. So great question. Thanks for calling in with that. Well, we have Scott from Mississippi on the line. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning to the happy couple. Love talking to y'all, and a great program as always. Today's just a spot on. So many of us need to hear, and this creates a lot of awareness as much as anything in my mind. I was going to ask you, though, never known Gary really to address how the love languages are from both sides different, because in my life, for me personally, I'm great at offering words of affirmation. I've gotten better in my older year, my middle age years, than I was with even when we were rearing our children. But with our dog, I'm great at it with our pups, and they just feed off of it.
Yeah.
And it's something you can create by habit. But I'm also wondering where. But yet I'm terrible at receiving words of affirmation. I don't, it's like they don't even register with me, and I even try to brush them off. So I'm wondering where's that trade-off, or where's that line of demarcation that makes it, love language in giving but not in receiving, vice versa. And then also the point about these must be a lot like spiritual gifts in that they're really not baked in. And if you don't really use them and cultivate them, you may not have them. But yet you can, on the positive side, you can cultivate things that you don't think are your love language. You can cultivate ways of approaching people, especially those that you have repetitive contacts with, and make you more versatile or better or adaptable to particular relationships that you have. And I was just wondering how you and Debbie kind of thought about that.
Yeah, good question. I appreciate that, Scott. I appreciate you calling in. Well, I do think that if you don't use it, you kind of lose touch with it. You know, it's like if I'm words of affirmation and I don't get those or I don't give those, then I'm not very skilled in that anymore and I'm not very sensitive to that anymore. It's kind of like when you play the guitar, the more you play, the harder your fingers get at the tips, because you press in and then you're able to play longer and longer and longer. If you don't, then they're going to be really sensitive and it's not going to go well. And so we need to be utilizing those. And I do think you can give in a certain area and maybe receive in another area.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we said that at the top of the broadcast. It's that in all likelihood, you do not receive love the same way that your spouse does. And so part of the growing in oneness is that you, A, discover that, and then B, you work on your skills to meet your spouse's needs.
Well, I think what he's saying, though, is you might be giving love in words of affirmation, but you receive love in gifts or something like
right.
that.
Right, because you have to learn that. Like for me, I was not necessarily huge on words of encouragement, because that's not how I necessarily receive love. I've had to learn how to do that. Uh-huh. And so that's why with you, I every week on Sunday, what do? I write you the 5 things I love about you, because uh-huh. I know that speaks your love language so much, and you, that fills your love tank to give you those words of affirmation. And so I have to first discover and understand that is how you receive love. And then it makes me very cognizant of the fact that when we are having a conversation, I need to be real careful with my words, because my words can fill your love tank or they can wound you very, very deeply, more so than if that wasn't a primary love language for you. And so I think it all is that aspect of it not being all about you, and that you have to learn your spouse's love language, whatever that may be, and that you have to focus in on honing your own skills of being able to show that love language
right.
To your spouse.
Very good. We just have about a minute. Dawn from Toledo, Ohio. Dawn, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I was just trying to get some wisdom here. I'm separated from my husband. We've been together 19 years. We have a 13-year-old, and it's just been very hard. I'm a woman of God. I don't know how. I've been praying. I don't know whether to go back or not. Just keep arguing. We argue constantly. You know, he's a man that believes woman is for the benefit of the man, which yeah. is good, but I mean, I should be valued. I should be listened to. I should be understood right. as well. You know, and it's like my voice doesn't matter.
You hey, know, Dawn. Like Dawn, I'm sorry we're out of time, but email me, jeff@fromhisheart.org, and I'll comment on that. You've been listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. And go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and let Him use you in a powerful way as His witness. God bless.